For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Happy New Year, everybody! It's the first week of the 2024 sports calendar, and even though football season may be over, and even though our bet of blue Gatorade at the Super Bowl dunking Andy Reid did not cash, we are still giving you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you head to BetOnline Sportsbook with the link in the description to this episode and use our promo code BELIEVE. Use that 50% welcome bonus to bet on basketball. Maybe you're into the pro, maybe you're into the college, maybe you're into Caitlin Clark setting the all-time scoring record in the history of college basketball. However you choose to bet, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the link in the description to this episode. Bet online, where the game starts. Eagles, 22. What the hell happened to them this year? That's kind of funny. If you take, like, the last time we talked, which was, like, right before the season started, to now, like, oof, what the hell happened to the Eagles?
Yeah, well, oh my goodness. Like, imagine saying, like, I don't even remember at what point, week 13, that this team was going to be picking pick 22. Like, we would have said, like, oh my goodness. Like,
let me tell you this, because I didn't get a chance to share this with you. After the 49ers-Eagles game, I came on the podcast and I was like so adamant about this. And I said, you know, if the Eagles end up as the five, they lose to the division of the Cowboys, all that stuff. If they end up the five and Tampa ends up the four, you're telling me Tampa can't beat the Philadelphia Eagles?
It was written in stone.
Yeah, I was saying it when it was cool. The problem was the Eagles fell off so hard it became not trendy to say that
by the time
the playoffs rolled around. I was saying it when it was cool to say it, and then the Eagles fell off so hard that everyone was picking them to lose in the wild card round.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty much I do definitely see what you're saying. And before all this happened, I would have never said that, to be honest with you. So I will give you credit because the Eagles look to be unstoppable, right? Especially with the tush push and the idea that they're basically playing second and eight or first and eight every single play or first and seven every single play instead of first and 10, which I just thought was a game changer for them. And I thought that was going to be the reason why they would win those games at the very least, because when things get down to elimination, you're going to want to rely on that. Now, what I didn't expect was Tampa to just completely stop the tush push. I mean, they really did. They finally figured out a solution to it. And that was a big difference in the game.
Yes, they figured out a solution. And you know what that solution is? Vita Vea. Okay.
Vita having the biggest human alive.
Yeah. That's the only Tampa has that solution, which is just Vita Vea says no. And when Vita Vea says no, the tush push is stopped. That's something other teams can't do. It's still so stupid. Like, we didn't really appreciate this at the time. The year that Tampa won the Super Bowl, where Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the second half of an NFC championship game. Why did they win the Super Bowl? They had Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea. Like, that's just so stupid. The best run defense in the last 10 years of the NFL was just because they had those giant human beings in the middle. And now they have Kalijah Kancey, and they're just awesome at stopping the run because they have giant human beings in the middle.
Yeah, and Kansey's the perfect complement to someone like Vita Vea, because Kancey is a guy who's a lot smaller, but still, like, really, really strong to where it's kind of scary. And you know that you're going to have to double Vita Vea just because if he goes one-on-one with anyone, that guy's getting pushed straight back. So he has to be doubled just so you can keep him at bay. And that pretty much gives Kalijah Kancey the ability to go one-on-one with interior offensive linemen, which is, I mean, that's his wheelhouse. That is what Kancey does better than anyone else in that class that he was in. Hit one-on-one interior winning pass rush. That was Kalijah Kancey's game. So, I mean, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that that worked out really well for Tampa. That was a great pick they made getting Kancey to compliment Vita Vea. And, yeah, I mean, for them to be able to stop Philadelphia as a whole is so huge. I would consider maybe taking, you know, an interior guy here because with Travis Kelce, you know, likely to retire – sorry, excuse me, Jason Kelce likely to retire. You know, the idea that you want to maybe replace – you know, I know Cam Jurgens is expected to step in the center, but you want to replace that right guard spot maybe for the future. I'm definitely considering the idea of maybe doing that. But I also think another very big need for this team is along the secondary and corner, particularly where James Bradberry had a very, very rough season this year. They haven't been able to stay completely healthy at that position. I mean, Darius Slay is still decent, but he's getting up there in age. And I think that there really hasn't been a lot shown from the younger guys. You know, Keely Ringo had an okay season, but he certainly struggled at times. I think that Philadelphia wants to take a new corner for the future here. I'm going to draft Nate Wiggins from Clemson here. I think if there's any team that's not worried about weight concerns, it would be the Eagles, seeing as they drafted Devonta Smith, who is now one of the best receivers in football. So I'm going to take Nate Wiggins here and hope that they can do the exact same thing with him, because he does have some size concerns. He's very tiny, and that is a bit of a worry, but he's still 6'1", so he's tall enough. He's got very, very good ball skills for a corner. I think he is one of the best pure coverage corners in this class in terms of polishedness and the ability to step in and immediately be one of those guys that you can expect to lock down someone. He was pretty much always given the toughest assignment on the Clemson defense, and he for the most part, was able to stop those guys. So I was really impressed with the way Nate Wiggins played. I do think that, you know, there might be some concerns with the idea that, you know, he might not be a very sure tackler at the next level, but I mean, he's allowed very low passer ratings throughout his career. He was rarely ever targeted this year because of how well he played. And he's been relatively healthy for the most part throughout these last couple of seasons. So I do think that there is a lot to like about him. And I do think that if he's able to get into a defense like Philadelphia, who has a good pass rush, that's going to give him the option to be able to take advantage of a lot of mistakes that quarterbacks will make.
I like it. Wiggins goes to Philadelphia. They also waived Kevin Byard, I know. So that's just true. Kind of a temporary trade they tried last year. Didn't really go the way I think they hoped it would. But I understand going secondary, because we joked about this too with the Eagles. Like, Deebo Samuel called James Bradberry trash, came out and put up what, like 12 catches, 130 yards, and three touchdowns against the dude he called trash. Like, just absolute, like, you win the trash talk game forever in that sense. So I don't think the Bradberry thing is gonna — this is a good Bradberry replacement. This is a good pick to finally replace Bradberry.
Yeah, that was — I don't know if it's ever coming back from that.
No, like, that was straight up called him trash and then put up 150 yards and three touchdowns on him while they were guarding each other. Just brutal. Absolutely, yeah. Brutal. I know
it's funny, Bradberry's had the biggest roller coaster career out of a corner I can ever remember. Like, I remember 2020, he was good. 2021, he was bad. 2022, he was like the best corner in the NFL. And in 2023, he was awful.
It's so like, wild. What in the world? He was great on the Giants, then truly awful on the Giants. Got to the Eagles and was awesome, and then held Juju Smith-Schuster in the Super Bowl and just completely fell apart. Like, I just, yeah. God, it's — you're so right about that. You're so right. That is just the most wild career of almost any NFL player I can think of.
Yeah, like, just super, like, up and down, just roller coaster.
It's like, I know you're a bit of a baseball guy, but it's like Mike Fiers in the MLB, where it's like you look up and he's like, he broke Giancarlo Stanton's face with a fastball and was the snitch at the center of the Astros cheating scandal, and also threw two no-hitters in his career. Like, it's one of those just wild up and down swings of a career.
Got some good stories, at least. Like, you could say that. You got some great stories.
Yeah. We talked about Tampa a second ago, and speaking of 350 pounds of giant man meat, I'm going to have Houston's pick at 23, and I'm going to take my favorite prospect in the draft this year, which is Tavondre Sweat from Texas, which is 360 pounds of man meat, who I have seen in Big 12 games this year chase down receivers in the open field at 360 pounds.
Yeah. I'm glad we're talking about him at least, because even if we didn't take him for some reason, I was going to talk about him anyways, because I love him. I love this guy. I love everything about Tavondre Sweat. I watched an interview that was done at the combine, and I love the guy.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To see him win so bad. I just love this dude. He is huge, big 365 pounds, just a straight up animal. And I won't lie to you, I'm banging on a table for him to be a Bengal.
Yeah.
At the same time, I would take him at pick 18, to be honest with you. I know a lot of Bengals fans don't agree with me in that take, but I think he's truly that good to be that type of guy on your team. I think he's a difference maker nose tackle. He's shown to be a decent pass rusher at nose tackle, great run stopper. Obviously, no one's moving to 365 pounds. It's just not happening. I think the only concern was Sweat, and if there's a reason why he is not taken in round one, this is definitely the reason why for me. I do think that, you know, 365 pounds is a lot of weight to carry around, and especially when you're like that, it could fluctuate a lot. So you can have weeks where you're a lot heavier, you can have weeks where you're a lot lighter. It really just depends, and I think nutritionists are a big key to making sure you get the most out of your players. So I do think if the Houston Texans are able to make it to where they can keep this guy at a good weight and he is running at a very, very good speed with the weight he's carrying around, I think this is going to be a Pro Bowl level talent in Tavondre Sweat. I think he's that good. Now, I do know that, like, for example, the Bengals drafting Tyler Shelvin, he was 350 pounds. You know, he was far too big, and I think you could see that it really affected his lateral movement. I think he was taken out of the plays more often than not, and it was hard for him to make tackles. I would worry about Tavondre Sweat following that if it was not under the right nutritionist. Now, Shelvin might be doing better on that now, but I just know the Bengals did a horrible job taking care of him. We failed Tyler Shelvin in terms of that. And so I do worry that, you know, if the wrong team gets their hands on Sweat, there could be some problems. But if he gets the right nutritionist and he is able to use his full strength with the weight he carries around, I think he is going to be a very, very fun defensive lineman prospect. And I am very excited to see him play in the NFL, no matter if he's a Bengal or not.
Well, let's see if Houston can do right by him. We'll see. We'll see what the Texans can pull off there. You got the Dallas Cowboys, 24.
Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to go ahead and just take the guy that just keeps falling to me. I love Jerzon Newton out of Illinois as well. This is such a good interior defensive line class, and no one really, like, I guess, talks about it as much. But Byron Murphy, Tavondre Sweat, and Jerzon Newton are, like, I would say the most confident I've been in three interior guys in one class in a long time. It's been a while since I've drafted three guys comfortably in round one in the interior defensive line. It's pretty hard to do that, I think. And a big reason why is because a lot of times players aren't able to make huge impacts on the interior. The exception here is the fact that really Texas had really their only impact come from the interior from Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, while Illinois was a team that really just kind of needed any sort of pass rush at all. And Jerzon Newton had completely taken over and was the best player on that defense far and away, just without question. He was just on another level in every single game that was played. If they needed a big play to be made, it was in the hands of Jerzon Newton to make that play. He's a very, very good go-getter in terms of being able to sack the quarterback. I think that Dallas is a team that definitely could use some players to fill in holes elsewhere. But at the same time, Jerzon Newton is a guy that I know could immediately slot himself in as a starter on this team. I think he could fit decent enough in the defense to be where he is at least being used to at the best of his abilities in some sort of way. And I think that he's a very, very efficient and good pass rusher for this team. I would love to see Dallas get their hands. I mean, he had 8 sacks in 2023 from the interior offensive line or interior defensive line, by the way, which I think is very important to note. He had 36 hurries in 2022, 28 in 2023, showing that he is getting to the quarterback very often and forcing him to scramble out of the pocket and get out to try to extend and make plays, which you love from your interior to make them a little uncomfortable. I just think this guy has it all. He's played 3 straight seasons pretty much fully healthy, which you love from your players. And I mean, this is a guy that I think is only going to get better. He's 21 years old. He's only a junior right now. I think that this is a guy that's played, like I said, since he's a true freshman for Illinois. So, and he's balled out every single year. He's only gotten better. There's a very high ceiling here, I think. And this would be a very, very exciting pick for the Dallas Cowboys to make.
Okay. I've got a quick question for you before we do the Green Bay Packers pick. Because I actually had Newton penciled in as the person I was going to pick for the Packers. So now I'm kind of like, ooh. Well, I mean, that's how the game goes, right? Is the person you think you're going to get gets drafted right before.
That's why we alternate, right? So that way we don't do that.
Pretty much. So do you think David Bakhtiari will be on the Packers next year?
All I will say is, I would draft it to offensive tackle.
Okay. That's all I'll say. No, that works out, because otherwise I would have just traded out and done something wacky here. So let's go
I don't know if Bakhtiari returns or not. He might return to a 1-year deal. But even if he did, like, that's not their future for Jordan Love. And they need that future offensive tackle for Jordan Love.
All right, let's go with Amarius Mims then. Let's go with Mims from Georgia.
He's a true right tackle, I think, but at the same time, I think I could see Green Bay making this work either
who's
way.
Who's their right tackle?
Packers.
Looks like Zach Tom. I don't know if he could move over to left tackle.
I think he could, because I'm pretty sure he's played both before. But I could be wrong. I'm not entirely sure on that. Now, I will say that the reason why it's tough for me here, because I actually think Mims talent wise is probably maybe a step above some of these other offensive tackles we've talked about. I do have Ault as my one. I do have Fashanu as my two. And then I also love Olu. I think I have his 3, but I'm pretty sure Mims is my 4. The only problem, like I said, with Mims is just the fact that he's played right tackle the entire time, but that's because he's played for Georgia and in an offense that has had the left tackle already pretty much be NFL draft ready picks the last several years. You think of Jamari Salyer, who started there at left tackle for a couple of seasons. You've had good tackles there already, and Mims has just consistently been the right tackle on the other side of those guys. So maybe Mims can play left tackle. I'm not totally sure. I've only seen him play right tackle, so that's why I kind of just slot him in as right tackle, and sometimes I get a little scared of not taking him. But here's the thing. Green Bay needs an offensive tackle. I think Zach Tom or Amarius Mims are good enough to make it work playing left tackle. And I think Zach Tom was actually really good last year. He had a very solid season, especially towards the latter half of the season, protecting Jordan Love. And I think David Bakhtiari is already up there in age. I think even if he re-signs to a 1-year deal for some reason, I just don't see a scenario where he is going to be on the team for multiple years, right? Considering all the injuries that have happened. So you need to find that replacement eventually. And I think Amarius Mims is perfectly fine here. This is where he should go anyways, right? So I think this makes a lot of sense to take him here because he's a good player.
Yeah, I was listening to Mina Kimes talk about this really great point that, like, part of the renaissance for the Packers, in addition to obviously drafting and stashing Jordan Love, but the thing that turned it around so quickly for them where they were like almost in the NFC championship game is ability to draft and develop interior offensive line late in the draft. They have killed it drafting those interior offensive linemen late in the draft. And it's been huge for Aaron Jones's aging like fine wine and Love's protection. Some of these receivers have connections because Love has time to throw. Like, I don't know if Dontavian Wicks would have worked in a lot of places, but it's working in Green Bay to the point where maybe they don't need a receiver at all in this draft. It's worked out amazingly for Green Bay so far in their interior offensive line development. So I imagine getting a super skilled tackle, it'll work fantastic too.
Yeah, without question. I think any chance you could have to have someone that could help pass protect for Jordan Love, you want to take that, because Green Bay has found their identity now, right? They are a team that is going to – Jordan Love is good enough to lead a passing attack. That's what I learned this season. I think he proved it in the playoffs. I think he showed that he's very capable of doing that. And I think the receivers are good enough to help him. I think Jaden Reed had a great season. He looked like he played and progressed really well. I think that Romeo Doubs is, you know, not the best receiver in the world, but he's certainly capable, very good. I love what I saw from the rookie tight ends from Tucker Kraft and from Luke Musgrave, who both had very solid seasons this year. You know, Christian Watson has had injuries. He hasn't been completely consistent, but I do think he's capable. I would definitely think Green Bay's in a position where they can maybe look into throwing some money at a free agent wide receiver even to help. But I really think if you want to add to this young offensive core, I think you need to add it on the line. And that's really where I think they should take the picks here. If they're not going defense, I think offensive tackle is definitely what makes the most sense in my mind.
Tampa Bay. We already talked about their man meat of a defense. What direction is Tampa Bay going to go?
So I'm going to take this guy just because this is where I would consider. I feel like after this, for me, it's a little bit of a fall off, which is why I'm going to take this guy here, because I kind of look at these guys and no one really intrigues me the same way Kool-Aid McKinstry intrigues me from Bama here at this pick. Tampa is a team that is, I believe, going to potentially move on from one of their corners. I don't remember if it was Sean Murphy Bunting or Jamel Dean, but I know one of them's in free agency and is probably going to be going their separate ways. So I do know there is a need here to replace an outside cornerback. So it does make a lot of sense for me to go with someone like Kool-Aid McKinstry here. And Kool-Aid's still a guy that I think is very capable of being a round one corner.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Level talent. I think that he hasn't done a lot of wonders for himself. I think a lot of people kind of slotted him and Kamari Lassiter from Georgia in as the 1 and 2 to start this season. And I think we kind of been surprised to see a lot of other names kind of rise up as the process has gone on. But he still had a very, very successful career in Alabama. I mean, this is a guy that has consistently been a pretty solid player on this team. He's only allowed one touchdown the last 3 seasons. And I think this is a guy that is not very, really has never been targeted very often. You know, we really saw Arnold, like I said, be the guy that teams try to pick on, and he got a lot of the opportunities to make plays on the ball. And it kind of felt like a lot of people were more so just avoiding Kool-Aid McKinstry altogether. I mean, he played 848 defensive snaps. He had 482 coverage snaps. He was only targeted 39 times. In those 482 coverage snaps, he was targeted 39 times, which is very, very little. And so you know, when you look at the yards he's allowed, I mean, I think his passer rating is pretty high because he wasn't targeted that often. So when he was, maybe it wasn't the best, but he wasn't targeted because he was simply shutting down the players he was on. He was very, very good at staying in front of the ball. I do think Kool-Aid is a guy that has capable ball skills. I know that he had, I believe he had an interception not this season, I know, but I know the previous season he had one. He might have had a few others the year before that. So I know he's capable with ball skills. That's not his total strength. I think what he's really good at, he's a very long corner. I think that he plays on the outside. He can also play in the box. He's a very, very good tackler. And I think that this is the guy that is physical. And that's what I love about Kool-Aid McKinstry, is a especially at the line of scrimmage. And just in general, he's a physical, strong corner, and you like that of your guys. And I think this is a team that can maybe use that extra corner on the team to help, you know, rebuild this this secondary and this defense on this team. I mean, you know, maybe there's a need here at wide receiver if they're to lose Mike Evans, but Kool-Aid McKinstry is the best player available in this class right now, and that's why I'm taking him here at pick 26.
If you had 39 targets this last season for Kool-Aid, they played 14 games. That's fewer than three targets per game, less than three targets per game on Kool-Aid McKinstry. So makes sense. I thought he'd go higher. He falls to 26. I think the Cardinals would have liked him at 27 if he had fallen, but I think the Cardinals are fine with this player. They'll take at 27. We'll go with Braylon Trice, edge rusher from Washington.
Braylon Trice is a very fast speed rusher coming off the edge out of Washington. He is a little smaller on the outside. He's not the not exactly the strongest, most built player on this team, but he's a very consistent, safe, good pass rusher. He had 53 hurries this past season and 19 quarterback hits with 8 sacks off of 534 pass rush attempts. He is very, very good about getting around the outside. And that's pretty much how he always wins, is with his speed running around the outside to the opposite tackle. We really don't see a lot of bull rushes out of him. It's more so pretty much just winning on the outside with his speed. And I think out of all the players in this class, Braylon Trice and Chop Robinson, those two players won the most often off of the outside tackle, winning around the edge, getting around that guy. That was the two things, but both Braylon Trice and Chop Robinson, those two players were clearly a step above the rest in terms of being able to do that. So for Arizona, for a team that maybe needs to add a little bit to this edge rushing help, I think that they could throw him up to be maybe a standing rusher. You know, it's kind of funny. You want to talk about maybe trying to find the replacement for Chandler Jones. I mean, he doesn't have the strength Chandler Jones does, but Chandler Jones, what I think of Chandler Jones doing really well is also being able to win around the tackle and just use his speed. Braylon Trice can also do that at a very, very high level. And I think that that'll be very, very fun for Arizona to probably add to try to help get to the passer a little bit more.
You got Buffalo 28. There's a player I'm thinking here, but I'll see what direction you take it.
Ooh, see, I love when you say that because I'm always thinking like, ooh, who's the player you're thinking?
Yeah, no. I've got a sneaky idea and one that I'd like to see, but I've got a sneaky suspicion.
So the way I see it right now, I think that there is a big conversation on if the weapons Josh Allen adds is enough. I was really impressed with the way Khalil Shakir played towards the latter half of the season, but I also think Gabe Davis is not exactly who you would want to be that other receiver. And I do think Stephon Diggs is getting up there in age a little bit. And are we starting to see him regress? Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I don't want to be the one to, I guess, exactly throw that out there, but I think it's certainly possible. I'm going to go wide receiver here. I'm going to get fun. I'm going to take Adonai Mitchell from Texas, who I think made himself some good money through the combine. And I don't think this is a guy that you were expecting me to take, but this is a guy that I love. He is huge. He's a big body receiver on the outside. He runs a 4.3. Well, I don't remember what it was. 4.36, 4.35. I know that he is a very, very fast, large receiver. That is very exciting to me. He had 845 yards this year and 11 touchdowns off of 86 targets, which I think was really impressive. This is a guy who has played a little bit in the slot, I think, this past season, and he also played a lot out wide. So, you know, he could play in those different positions, and you like that. I think he's a very good deep threat, but also a very good catch ball catcher. And I think he could be a very good complement to Stephon Diggs in this offense. Now, I will say there also is the case of, do you want that speed demon like Xavier Worthy, who just broke the new combine record? And, you know, Xavier Worthy, I think in college, was the better receiver. But if you were to ask me, who I actually prefer as a prospect, I'm actually more fan of an Adonai Mitchell in this year's NFL draft class than I am Xavier Worthy as an NFL prospect. So I think that Buffalo here taking him actually, it's probably the better pick than what Xavier Worthy would be, because I do worry about Xavier Worthy's. We'll get to that. I want to talk about Xavier Worthy a little bit more, but I think Mitchell right now feels to me like he could be an alpha for this Buffalo Bills team. And I like that. This is what Adonai Mitchell, I think, is going to give you what you wanted from Gabe Davis.
Okay. That makes sense why they would go that direction. I thought they were going to go receiver. I thought we would get to talk about Ladd McConkey right here.
Ooh. That's a conversation for... We'll talk about Ladd McConkey. If we don't do a... I want to join another couple episodes for sure before the draft. We'll definitely do that. Because I want to talk about some like guys that won't be taking round one, because that's the best part. Ladd McConkey is like, for me right now, a consensus round two guy, but I love Ladd McConkey. Like, he's a lot of fun.
He's so silly and fun. You and I on the Georgia guys, we both loved watching Georgia these last few years. I've noticed that. You and I are both big on the Georgia.
I just love good ball players. That's all I say, you know?
Yeah.
And McConkey's just simply a good ball player.
We'll talk about Ladd McConkey another day. If I cared enough, I would just trade Detroit out of the pick and just have someone take McConkey. But Detroit does desperately need a first round cornerback here. They had one competent cornerback last year. I'm not even saying Cam Sutton is a great corner, even a good one. They had one competent NFL cornerback last year, so they are desperately going to take a corner here. Is Kamari Lassiter the best one, you think, at this point?
I want to talk about another guy, if all possible. Right. I don't know if you've heard of him, but this is a guy that I have kind of discovered. And, well, I don't want to take your pick. I don't want to take your pick.
No, go ahead. Lord knows I don't care which direction they go. I just know the Lions need a corner so badly. Who's your guy that you want to talk about?
My Kamari Lassiter had a great season this year, I got to say, and I want to give my respect to him. Now, I want to talk about Enos Rakestraw Jr. from Missouri.
Yeah, let's do it.
This guy had an unreal season. And coming from someone who's a big Kentucky Wildcats fan and watches a lot of SEC football, this guy was a problem this year in the SEC. He made some noise because a lot of receivers were having trouble whenever this guy was guarding him. I know he missed a couple of games this year, but the previous year, I know he had a very successful season. He's not a consistent like interception machine, so he's not that kind of ball hawk corner you would expect, but he has been very, very clutch in terms of whenever he's targeted, he's able to make plays on the ball. I think he has a very, very smart ability to bat passes down. I think that he's able to follow the feet and footwork of receivers really, really well. That is one of the most talented. I think Enos Rakestraw Jr. is able to follow the footwork of receivers better than most corners in this class as a whole. Now, the only issue is he the most athletic corner in this class? I honestly have to look back at the RFP.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Scores before I'm really able to make it a full-on decision on that. He is a little bit smaller, being only 6 foot tall. I think he's like around that 190 range in terms of weight, so there are people who say maybe he could play in the slot. I think he's very good enough to be in the outside corner slot. I think he could be a future cornerback too, maybe even a starting cornerback one on a team in the future. And I think on a team that needs someone that can lock down a player, I could see Enos Rakestraw being that kind of guy for that team. I am a huge fan. I want him to go round one. I think he's very good. I think he was very deserving of it. He felt to me like, honestly, watching it this season, I almost kind of thought he was better than either of the Bama corners. That's how high I was on him this year. But I will also say the Bama corners are far more larger, athletic. I think there are more reasons to like them to go higher in this class, even though I think this guy has gone on the radar for far too long because he has been consistently good for the last couple of seasons, to be honest with you. He started really in 2022 with a very, very good year, and I think he followed it up with another very stellar, solid season last year.
I know a lot of the slot corner truthers in the NFL who know the value of the slot corner is incredibly undervalued. are definitely looking to him because he played half his snaps in the slot this last year in college.
Yep. Yeah, he did, and a very safe tackler, very good tackler. I think that's a big thing to like about him. Now, he's also played on the outside quite a bit, and on the outside, I think he was equally as good, and you have to like that. You love that versatility out of him. You know, I think he could play that inside nickel position if you wanted to. He could play the outside position. Honestly, you really think of a player comp, he's a very similar size to a guy like Trent McDuffie, who we were just talking about in that Spagnuolo offense. I think he's got very similar size. He might be similar in athleticism as well. Now, McDuffie might have been more, I think, polished coming out because McDuffie was one of those guys who I think everyone kind of realized was going to be one of those top corners very, very early on. And Enos Rakestraw, someone that's really had to earn that, I think, the last couple of years. And I think he's kind of made a name for himself based off of his play the last couple of seasons. And I just don't think you could really ignore that. And I love giving credit to players who played well. I think whenever he was healthy, he was their best corner on their team and arguably their best defensive player as a whole.
All right. We got Baltimore. Pick 30. What direction do you think the Ravens should go?
This is another fun one because I almost wonder, like, I'm going to have to take a look at their upcoming free agents because I almost wonder, I know that they're planning on maybe tagging Justin Madubuike, so I wonder maybe if they're going to look to add to the edge or maybe receiver of some sort.
Odell's a free agent, obviously.
Yeah, I guess we'll go receiver here. We're gonna go with speed here because we just talked about him, and I need to talk about him a little bit more because he just broke the record. We can't forget about Xavier Worthy,
yeah,
who literally just ran a 4.21. So let's make this Ravens offense 10 times more dangerous, and I will never want to watch football again after this pick's made. Let's take Xavier Worthy here and give him Lamar Jackson so we can have even more speed on this offense to complement all they already have. Xavier Worthy has been, I think, a consensus top-tier wide receiver the last several seasons. He had a great season in 2021, catching for 981 yards and 12 touchdowns his freshman year, mind you. And everyone was like, okay, this guy is absolutely legit. And then in 2021, I know there was a bit of people who were a little bit let down. And I think a big reason why was because I think as a whole, he wasn't as big a part of that offense as he was the previous season in a year where I think we all kind of expected him to be a much bigger factor on that team. I think it kind of changed a little bit for Texas that year. But last year was really the year that he took over and really became the alpha wide receiver on the team. He played a lot out of the slot. I would argue maybe even more than out wide. I don't know. It was pretty even. But whenever he was in the slot, he was winning consistently. He had 75 catches for 1,014 yards and 5 touchdowns this year. He averaged 13.5 yards per catch. This is a guy that can use his speed to win after the catch. And if he can get a pass over the middle and get some blockers ahead, he's able to take full advantage of it and bust it out for huge gains. This is a very, very explosive receiver. He has good size and he's very capable of being an alpha. I do think that if you're a team like the Baltimore Ravens, Zay Flowers gives you great speed and you love that, but this is a team that also tried to make Nelson Agholor their wide receiver, you know, really the one of their other valuable outside wide receivers. And though he's fast and that's good, I don't think Nelson Agholor is who you want to be the future of this team when you go into the playoffs. You would much rather have someone like Xavier Worthy, who I think is going to be able to take over and actually be a dangerous weapon.
You know, the Dolphins are probably going to trade up in the first round to draft him now, right? That's probably what's going to happen here.
It's definitely going to happen.
The Dolphins are just like, yes, this is our receiver now. No question. It's going to be Tyreek Hill. It's so funny. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Xavier Worthy.
They're going to own everyone who ran anything under a 4.28.
They just sign John Ross. Who cares? Bring him out of retirement.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, Ross is a Dolphin.
Damn, that's so funny. I love that we got a chance to talk about Worthy on the day he broke the record, too. That's awesome.
I think he just earned it. I think if this pick was happening without that happening, I'm probably taking Troy Franklin from Oregon. But running a 4-2-1 is just ridiculous, and you have to give him credit for that. So John Ross ended up going pick eight ahead of Patrick Mahomes because of it. So we're at least going to give Worthy a little bit of respect here.
Yeah, but that was the Bengals part, though. That was the Bengals kind of being behind that one. I'm going to give you a chance to talk about a prospect you like, too. So for the San Francisco 49ers at pick 41, just pick any offensive lineman left on the board you want to talk about and plug them into the 49ers. Just any offensive line position other than left tackle will work for the 49ers.
Well, that's good because there are a lot of different guys who can play different places here. I do definitely think this is probably a spot where they look to maybe take offensive line. I actually think the next best guy here available on the board is Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, who has a lot of experience playing right tackle. That's where he played the entire time, which I think makes a lot of sense here for San Francisco because they do have left tackle already in Trent Williams, who makes a lot of sense. And I do think that they've spent a couple of picks in player positions on the interior already, I believe, and maybe they can add some even more in the free agency period. I think regardless, you really, really like the tackles in this class. I see right now their starter's Colton McKivitz, so that needs to be fixed. Let's fix that. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma is a guy that I like a lot too. I think he's kind of similar to Mims in the way that he has been consistent as the right tackle for this team for the last three seasons. I know that he's had some injuries every now and then, and people are a little bit concerned about that. But as a pass blocker, he's been very, very good. He allowed two sacks the previous season, but no sacks this year at right tackle, which you like a lot. I know he allowed a couple of hurries, but overall, he was very, very consistent. I think he's a very good pass blocker, but also a very capable run blocker as well. I'm looking at PFF grades right now, actually, to try to look at him. I didn't look. PFF's not very, very high on him as a pass blocker, but I definitely think he's a much better pass blocker than what PFF suggests, because I do definitely see Oklahoma holding the ball on a lot longer in certain plays and trying to extend. And I also think Dylan Gabriel, there's a lot of times where I feel like Dylan Gabriel took some sacks and held onto the ball a little too long whenever he shouldn't have. So for it to maybe be the case of where Tyler Guyton is maybe, I don't know. I feel like Tyler Guyton's very, very good regardless. I think this is a good fit for this team. I think he's a good right tackle, and I think he's very capable of being a very good, not only run blocker, but a good pass blocker for Brock Purdy as well.
Okay. Just any offensive lineman. I'm glad that you went with Guyton, because I think that right tackle is definitely going to make life infinitely easier for the 49ers. And they have so many talented players at so many positions. The offensive line was the only weak point last year. So right tackle, plug him in. Replaces Mike McGlinchey. It's going to work out great for San Francisco, I would imagine. That's probably their biggest priority. Last but not least, Kansas City, defending Super Bowl champions. What does Blake Jude think is going to happen here? And is this where the Giants will trade back into the first round to take JJ McCarthy and get the fifth-year option?
We'll save that for another day, I guess, because it looks like McCarthy's probably not going to be taken in this class of this draft right now, which honestly, I don't know, but maybe happened. I don't know. I don't know if I'm taking McCarthy round one if I'm a lot of these teams, but we'll see. If I'm Kansas City here, I'm looking at wide receiver. I guess a lot of this depends on whether or not Chris Jones stays or leaves. I'm going to assume he stays, I think, here. I'm going to go with Troy Franklin from Oregon here. I wanted to take him in round one. I mean, this guy had 1,400 yards receiving this past year. We have to talk about it a little bit. Troy Franklin is an absolute speed demon. He averaged 17 yards per catch this year and 14 touchdowns for Oregon. Every single deep ball you saw from Bo Nix, pretty much just assume that was Troy Franklin running it, because most of them were. He was just that guy winning deep the entire time. Now, Mahomes, very strong arm that guy has, I heard at least at one point. I don't really know if it's true or not, but maybe if you want to finally go ahead and get a true deep threat on this team now, finally, because Marquez Valdes-Scantling just wasn't that guy, Troy Franklin is that person. So this can finally open up that offense for Mahomes. I think this makes the life of Travis Kelce 10 times easier, because now you don't have the safeties always coming down to.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, hit in the moment he's, you know, hitting the ball, because you're a little bit worried about Troy Franklin maybe winning a little bit deep. And I think the biggest problem for Kansas City right now, and what has hurt them, and really the only thing I think has hurt them, is the fact that I think they almost try sometimes a little too hard to play the short field. And I think if they're able to extend the field and take a couple of deep shots and force those safeties that to play too high more often, this just lets Mahomes do more Mahomes stuff and pick and find open players on the field. So Troy Franklin opens up this offense in another way that they really haven't had since, I guess, they lost Tyreek Hill, really. Now, I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill. He definitely isn't. But this is going to be another fun weapon for Mahomes to use. And I think this is a very good compliment to Rashee Rice for the future, because Rice is that X receiver. He's that guy that you want on your team to be the possession guy. He's running shorter routes. He is a guy that you can scheme a lot of short plays to. Troy Franklin is your Z receiver. This is a guy on your outside that's going to be used to win deep. Like I said, he's going to be having a lot of opportunities to do that. I think you can even play him in the slot a little bit if you so choose, if you want to. I think he can be a safe catcher in that kind of way. I think he's got very good hands. And I mean, any receiver is going to like having Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback, because he's just going to put the ball in the right spot. And Troy Franklin had an unreal season this year when the ball was accurately placed with him, and he was able to win deep because of his speed. So I'm going to put him here because I think the Chiefs want more speed, and I'm going to give him Troy Franklin because of that.
Finally, a receiver that they trust, because they've already got the possession guys. Maybe they just need a speed receiver to replace Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Mecole Hardman or something like that. Now that we're done, what do you think? What are your thoughts, takeaways? What do you feel good about? What do you wish you could have done? What do you think about the mock draft now that we are all said and done?
Well, I definitely think McCarthy is going round one. Should just throw that out there. Probably will happen. Didn't happen here, but you know what? It's okay, because it doesn't need to happen.
He's basically just the Will Levis of this draft class, right? Could go. Some people are going to say top five and also could fall out of the first round.
It's just like Daniel Jones. It really is. It's just like Daniel Jones. That's the way I think of it. Like, it's... If this league didn't need quarterbacks so bad, I think in the regular draft he's probably going round two. But it's just because there's so many people who want quarterback, I kind of just assume he's probably going to go round one because of it. And now I hear he's possibly going top three for some reason. Okay.
So you think he might go in the first round? We had like seven corners taken in the first round.
Very strong corner class, very strong receiver class, very strong offensive tackle class. And you could really tell that in this class. There was a lot of talk on those three positions.
Yeah, I don't think we had any obviously no running backs, but I don't think we had any interior linebackers get drafted either.
No safeties either, no linebackers.
Yeah, no, it's going to be heavy wide receivers, offensive tackles. I mean, we had a handful of edge rushers go, but I think it was pretty a lot of interior defensive linemen.
I feel like every pick that was made here, I feel like, are premium positions. You know what I mean? Like, aside from, I guess, Brock Bowers, who's really the only, and maybe Jackson Powers Johnson, who are really the only two players in this class who aren't in premium positions that are worth a lot of money, if that makes sense, you know. And I think a big thing about round one is the fifth year option and the ability to get guys who are on valuable positions for basically 5 years. I think it's the biggest thing, right? You think of like your left tackle of the future, your cornerback one of the future, your wide receiver one of the future, your quarterback one of the future. Those guys you want to have for that one extra year, so that way you have that extra year. So whenever you re-sign them, you have an extra year with them, right? Like, no matter what. And a lot of people love it to where they can maybe re-sign a player during their fifth year option, and they add a little bit of that contract in that fifth year, so that way you're paying a little bit of it now and you don't have to pay of it later. So to have that fifth year option, I think you really want to spend your premium important positions on. So I personally, in this class, I don't see a safety. Well, I see one safety that's worth a first round pick right now, and he's borderline, that being Tyler Nubin from Minnesota, who I think is a very good free safety and is my favorite safety this class. And I know a lot of people like the linebacker from NC State, I believe. his name's leaving me at the moment, but I definitely see that. I definitely see like the talent those guys have, but I just feel like at their positions right now, they aren't the difference makers enough to be worth the idea of not taking a premium player at a certain position. And I just feel like you look at guys like Franklin, Worthy, Rakestraw, Wiggins, Arnold, Kool-Aid, all these guys, they all just have shown so much promise at these positions. And I think all these guys have a lot of potential to be the future stars of their team at those important positions. And you just really want to try to take those chances to get those guys.
And premium positions are the name of the game this year. And I think we had one defensive player taken in the first 11 picks, and that was our boy white corner Cooper DeJean also. So premium My positions boy. And offensive premium positions this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how I see it. I think this year the strongest offensive tackle and corner is without question to me the two strongest parts of this class. So for us to draft more off the tackles and corners than any other position makes complete sense to me, because honestly, to be honest with you, there are like three or four other corners I could see going round one, maybe. Like I know there's Sanders still from Michigan, who I'm a huge fan of. I think he's very good. And there are a couple of other guys who I maybe not totally bought.
I mean,
into
we mentioned the Georgia guy Lassiter,
Kamari Lassiter, who I think is another very capable guy and had a great season this year, by the way. Like he was one of the best corners in college football this year, so that should definitely be noted. He had a great year, and you know, there's a couple of other guys who I really like that can maybe play in the slot a little bit, maybe a little bit of safety. So I mean, there's a influx of talent at that cornerback position in this class, and I think receiver as well. You know, we didn't even talk about Ladd McConkey yet, and we definitely will get around to that. And there's a couple of other guys like Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, Brendan Rice, who I'm a huge fan of, who I also want to talk about eventually as well, because there's a very, very good receiver class, and I want the Bengals to draft one really bad. So we'll definitely talk about that eventually. And offensive tackles are going to be where the strength of this class is, I think. I mean, all these guys that were taken, I have seen penciled in round one for a long time now. And I mean, unless things change and someone falls off, I mean, this is what we're going to count it right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 offensive tackles taken in the first 32 picks. And that's not including Jackson Powers Johnson at center. So 8 offensive linemen, 7 of them being offensive tackles. And Graham Burton, I've heard, has some round one hype at some points. And there's a couple of other players I know that have been mocked at least at one point there in round one. So those guys are just, there's so much supreme talent at those important positions. As a Bengals fan and someone that both needs corner and tackle, I love it. I want to take them. but I do think, you know, we're going to see a lot of this go off round one.
Blake Jude, thank you for coming on back here to the podcast. You will always and forever be our number one guest and number one co-host here on the Take It Easy podcast. So thank you as always. I'm excited that it's draft season again and that you are still deep into the scouting this year, because I know you love doing it. I love hearing you talk about it because you give me the insight that I need to be able to follow some of these players around draft season. And just so greatly appreciative that you have taken so much of your time here to come and hang out with us.
Of course. I mean, like I said, it's been a blast. I love joining these always. These are always so much fun. I really do appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me on again. It's always so much fun to be back here. I always tell everyone when I'm joining these and let everyone know so they can come in and listen. So I do really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. And it's been a blast for sure. Thank you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.